ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Saturday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Well, Louie and I have talked a lot about Origin, both on Wednesday night and again last night. Michael Carayannis, what did you make of Queensland's, in the end, thumping of the Blues, 44-24?
Oh, Queensland were amazing, particularly in that second half. The scoreline in the first half flattered. New South Wales, given the two tries that they scored, were fluky. But, yeah, Queensland dominant and did what they probably should have done in game one.
Now, there's been so much consternation about how Laurie Daly utilised or didn't utilise the interchange bench. And this appears to be an area where Billy Slater has mastered the opposition coach. What did you make of all of that from a Blues perspective?
The bench rotation was inept. It really was. It was embarrassing. And you look at the way the players were used and the starting players. And, you know, Mitch Barnett, 20 minutes to start the game. He comes from the field not seen until the end of the game. The stints for Payne Haas, Radley and Murray, I thought, were good off the bench. And then the whole Ethan Strange, well, Fanua Blake, what was the point of playing him? And then you've got this whole Ethan Strange thing where just because he played well in game one doesn't mean you have to force it. And that was my thoughts on it, the fact that they forced him onto the field. Where on the flip side, you had Queensland, who had a player called Reece Walsh sit on the bench for 80 minutes. They didn't force it. If it wasn't on, it wasn't on. And that's why, that's part of the reason why New South Wales got dominated so poor, like lost so bad. So they were, I can't see how you get to that level and you can't rotate a bench properly. And there's all these things around the New South Wales camp and their build-up and pre-game talks and all this sort of stuff, right? But the one thing that you can lay blame on coaching is bench rotation. That's coaching thing, right?
But who's there in the box with him?
Well, you've got Matt King, you've got Boyd Corner, and you've got Brett White.
So what are they doing?
I don't know. I don't know how much blame you lay on their feet, but one person you can blame on that is the head coach.
Yeah, no, I get
and,
that.
And that's as I said, they talk about, Laurie's pre-game talks and whether that's true or not, whatever. But the bench rotation is the clearest way you can judge a coach, right? That's a clear-cut coaching mechanism, right? And they got it wrong. And they got it wrong in game one. Got it wrong in game two. So God knows where they go in game three. But they need to blow that side up. That side that they picked. And I'm talking wholesale changes, 9-10 changes, not just two or three.
All right, well, let me go through it then with you. And then, Louis, you throw in a comment at the back. So the team that ran out, I'll just name the names. You tell me whether they stay or go. And if they're going, who replaces them? James Tedesco, fullback.
Stays.
Wingers Brian To'o and Mark Nwanganituwaze.
Mark stays, Brian gone.
Ooh. Replaced by?
This is the thing, right? So the three names I'm going to mention in the back line will be Stephen Crichton, Latrell Mitchell, and Tom Trbojevic. So this is all pending their performance for Tom and Stephen Crichton. They've got two games, Latrell next week. If they get through and play well, those three are in. So both centres are gone.
So that's Tolutau Kola and Katoni Staggs, who did have a shocker the other night, unfortunately. So you would play...
I'd have Tom on the wing and Latrell and Stephen Crichton at centre.
Provided they get through the next few weeks.
They get through, right? Mitchell. And that's tough on Kola. Kola's my 19th man.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's done anything wrong.
Mitchell Moses, 5'8".
Ethan Strange.
Nathan Cleary, halfback.
Days.
Payne Haas.
Stays.
Reece Robson.
Stays.
Mitch Barnett.
Gone. Isaiah Yeo, prop.
Hudson Young.
Stays.
Dylan Lucas.
Gone. Olakawatu.
Isaiah Yeo.
Cam Murray.
With Yeo playing the front row.
Yeah.
Okay, and would you make many changes to that bench?
Yeah, all of them. So, Brayley, I think he plays tomorrow. So, if he's fit, he plays. So, I've got Brayley, Radley stays. I'd pick Jacob Safidi. I think he's been in great form for Newcastle, was unlucky in game one. And I'd have Liam Martin. Mm-hmm. And then Mitch Moses and Cole are my 5-6 on the bench, but only used if needed.
What do you make of all those proposed changes, Louis?
I think he's a dribbler.
Well,
which
pick your
one?
Team.
MC?
Yeah, I think he's a dribbler.
Okay.
I don't think there'll be that many changes.
Well, pick your team.
But I'm not picking a team at the moment, but I sit there and I just don't think they can afford to have that many changes. The other thing is, too, I reckon the mistake we did is we picked Mitch Moses. I love Mitch Moses as a player, but...
I didn't pick him, right?
you just had him in your bench, though. I wouldn't have him in my team after not playing games. I agree with Latrell Mitchell. I think we need him there. But look, I don't think if Tedesco needs to be there anymore. I don't think Dylan Edwards is the right person. If you're picking a straight team, we need people who can score points. I don't think we've got that at the moment. So I can't go off what you were just saying there. I've got to have it written down and look at it. But
Hold on. You call me a fullback, and you've got rid of the fullback and the 5/8.
No, I made
too many changes.
I wouldn't be making the change now, though. I'll be leaving the team as it is now until next year. It's done and dusted. These players have put them in the hole. They've got to come out and do it. They've got to come and dig themselves out, mate. They've got to come and dig themselves out. They're the ones that are putting themselves there. Look, I don't think Latrell Mitchell will play. I remember he said, no, I'm out for this series. I don't actually think he'll play. That's my personal opinion. I don't know if he will. I hope he does, because I'd love him there. I don't think Tom Trbojevic... I love Tom Trbojevic to be in there, but I don't think he's got enough game time under his belt, so I just don't think you can pick him. And I reckon we made the same mistake with Mitch Moses. We picked him because he was underdone.
Yeah, but that's the difference is, though, Louis, Tom will have two games, right? Mitch Moses had none.
Yeah.
Right, and this is...
I'm not saying that the players that you picked are a dribbler. I just don't see how they're going to pick all those players.
But if he doesn't come out... But this is... Right, if he doesn't come out and look like Tom Trbojevic, I'm not picking him, right? So he needs to come out and dominate the next two games. But... The issue is, and Mitch Barnett was another one, he hadn't played since Origin 1.
Yes.
Okay? And had a very limited start to the season with injuries and the likes, but they still picked him. He hadn't played since Origin 1. Mitch Moses hadn't played since before Origin 1.
I don't know if I'd pick Tom Trbojevic on the wing. I'd be going more Casey McLean on the wing.
I don't think he's going to be fit.
Yeah,
he's facing him.
I don't think, because otherwise I'm picking him, right? I don't think he's.
And then the other one, I'd like, so I look at the three big bodies in the back line. I'd like to see Bostock actually get a start. He got his opportunity there. He didn't get a start.
Sounds like you're making lots of changes.
No, I'm just... But he was there on Wednesday night. So if you're going to make a change with the centre, why would you... I don't feel like you need to change Cole. I thought Cole was fine. If Latrell Mitchell does decide to come back, well, you have to open the door for him because he's just a big game player. He's a big human. But my only fear is I reckon we made the mistake with Mitch Moses by not having game time under his belt. And I just don't want to make that mistake again going into game
three. New South Wales always make that mistake. Always. So I expect them to pick someone who hasn't had any game time.
Those guys have to play, and they have to play well for them to be picked.
I agree with you.
And Latrell can't look like the Latrell that played that last game.
Yep.
Right? So he needs to get through 80 minutes, and if he gets even close to... If he starts dominating after 80 minutes, I'm throwing him in there because he's a big-name player. New South Wales need a circuit breaker. They need to take a risk because those guys have shown in the first two games that they can't get the job done.
I just don't know if they will make that many changes.
I don't know if they will either. But this was my side, who I think has the best chance.
Oh, I thought you mean that's what's going to happen.
No.
You're just picking them as my team.
Yeah.
On the text line, MC, don't hold back. Love the show, guys. From Barrington of Blackheath, 0467 920 222. G'day, boys. Do we never learn from history? Same old week. All week, all of us experts, only difference of opinion was whether New South Wales win by 6 or 30, just like every other year. Then the inevitable Queensland ambush. But Loz, I love him. For Noah Blake, 10 minutes and Appy, no minutes. Why can mics like us see through this and coaches cannot, says Steve at Concord.
I didn't even mention Appy Murray. How did Appy not get onto the field? There was two...
Reece Robson, look, and you mentioned Reece Robson. Reece Robson's a great defender.
Yep.
But he doesn't really offer too much in attack.
Agree.
They should have left him on for 25 minutes and brought Appy on 15 minutes before half time.
Agree.
Got some movement through the middle of the field, but there was just on that.
It's also when they had Queensland vulnerable.
Agree.
At up 12-2. Or do what you did in Origin 1 that worked, albeit against 12 men, with Blake Brayley coming on with half an hour to go. Work Reece Robson into the ground and then put in some spark.
That's right. And that when they scored, when it got back to 8 or 10, what was it? When New South Wales scored that try in the second half, that's when they should have hit go on Appy. I'm with Louis, sorry. They should have played him in the first half, but had they not, at that point, that's when they had no option but to throw him on and try and wrestle back that momentum and ascendancy, and should have gone in for the kill, and they just didn't do it.
Yeah, Queensland led 26-12 and then 26-18.
That was the moment. Having not done it in the first half, that was the moment to throw him straight on.
Rugby League is on your radio.
NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Well, Louie and I were at Hunter Stadium in Newcastle last night. Ended up being a really good game of footy, as we mentioned earlier. Newcastle defeating St George Illawarra 22 points to 20, but they were made to really earn it before a great crowd of 19,092. And that victory takes Newcastle back inside the top four. We keep saying what a remarkable job that Justin Holbrook is doing as coach and the response that his players are giving him over the first 16 weeks of the competition. He's on the line. Justin, how are you going?
Yeah, g'day, Andrew. Good, thanks.
Nice to have you on again, mate. I'll tell you what, you started so well last night. It looked like the score could be anything with Fletcher Sharp getting those two tries in the opening 10 minutes. Then they took you on a bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah, it sure was. And I guess, you know, when you play a side not long ago, we'd only played them sort of 4 or 5 weeks ago and had a good win. And as you mentioned, then you get off to that start and, you know, as players, sometimes you think, oh, good, it's going to sort of happen again. But, you know, I've got to give a lot of credit to the Dragons. You know, they fought their way back into that and as you said, pushed us all the way and obviously even come down to the last play. So, yeah, just, you know, fortunate that we got the win.
Must be satisfying, though, to concede more tries than you score and still win, because in recent years, that's easily a game Newcastle, even at home with a big crowd, don't manage to get the points. I suppose you've got to get a fair amount of those to have a successful year.
Yeah, we do. And obviously, you know, it wasn't sort of part of the past, but a few people had said that in the sheds. They said, you know, we hadn't won those games in the past. So I guess in that sense, it's good that, well, you've got to win them. If you want to play at the back end of the year, you've got to get those wins. And, you know, if you feel you didn't play your best, it's sort of all forgotten by, I guess, this afternoon when other games get rolled out. So you can sort of be pretty critical. But I guess, as I said, the main thing, and in particular, you know, with sort of Kalen and Dill Lucas, we've sort of opted not to back them up after Origin Wednesday night. And, you know, credit to the rest of the guys that got on with it and were good enough to get a win.
Justin, on that, talking about your two Origin players, how hard is it and how much thought goes into not playing them on the weekend?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, Louis, because obviously every game's so important and you want your best players out there. And then we were playing an opposition that didn't have any Origin players backing up. So I was like, oh, yeah, it is a tough decision. I made it with Kalen sort of straight away. I thought, well, I'll name him first because you never know what can happen in Origin. And then obviously with them both ended up playing 80 minutes, you know, Dill Lucas was keen to back up. And I left it till game day, and I just didn't sit right. I said, oh, look, mate, if you'd have played in Sydney, I probably would have said yes. But the fact that you've had to fly back up from Melbourne, you're obviously tired, and it's his first game at that level. So it just felt better to go without him. And obviously we needed to still win the game we've just won, so I feel we'll be better for that next week. But at the time, yeah, you know, it's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, I reckon it would be. Now, just go on to Dylan Lucas. He obviously had to play back row. He's been doing an outstanding job for you boys, but played the opposite side on Wednesday night. Do you ever sit down with him, have a chat with him as a coach and what you've seen in the Origin as well, or do you just leave it?
Yeah, I will sort of during the week. Obviously, we haven't had much time yet. I was going to say I feel for Dill a bit, but I felt he did everything he could. You know, he made 50-something, nearly 60-odd tackles, didn't get the ball much. And as you said, Louis played on the opposite side to what he's used to. So, yeah, I think he's just wrapped it. He, you know, got to play at that level. I think he's been playing outstanding for us. And I'm glad he got his opportunity. So, tough night, obviously, for the Blues. But I thought Dill, you know, tried really hard and did everything he could. So, and that was probably another reason I didn't want to back him up, because he did play the 80 minutes and got through a mountain of defence. So, yeah, I was happy for him.
Justin, you got a lot of questions in the preseason around the best spine combination heading into this year. Have you nailed it yet? Do you know which one's your best sort of 6, 7, 9 and that rotation?
Oh, it's a tricky one, Michael. As you know, I said in preseason we're going to move guys around because we'll have to, and we've played half the season now and we've had to chop and change our spine a lot. And look, it's sort of work. We've been able to keep getting the wins with change of positions. So, as for the exact one, I think I've been fortunate enough that I've got Fletcher Sharp there and he can play anywhere. I think he got our man of the match a few weeks back when I played him centre. And obviously he did a great job at fullback and he's really good in the half. So I guess he's probably the moving piece in it all. The rest of the guys, obviously, Dill Brown, Kalen and Phoenix are obviously those three in the key, and then Sharpie's sort of the moving piece.
is there someone, you're past the halfway point now. I'm sure if you said at the preseason you'd be in the top eight past the halfway point, you definitely would have taken it. Is there a player that's surprised you in a way that you sort of didn't really know much about but has really kicked on?
Oh, tricky one. I really like, obviously, so many of them. I really have been impressed by the whole playing group. But, look, to pick one without having much notice, I think, look, Matty Croker, I just think he reminds me, you know, if I think of old Newcastle's successful sides, like a Billy Peden-type player. Like, I feel like Matt Croker's become that for us in this generation. He's just... You know, even last night he played the whole first half with us. You know, we lost Pasami during the week at training. So Croak stood up and played more minutes again for us. He actually did it round one in Vegas for us. So I feel like, while I'm, you know, thrilled with it, you know, most of the boys in our world they're playing, I think Croak's is probably a standout.
What do you guys need to do for the back half of the year to ensure you're playing finals footy? What improvement areas do you have left in you?
Oh, I think everywhere, to be honest. I think I was really happy with sort of our start and our build-up. And then around Origin time when you get, you know, we've just come off two buys in 4 weeks. So it's real stop-start and it's you need the break because you're going to go into we're about to go into a big back end of the year. But I'm actually looking forward now. Obviously, we played last night, but now we've got another 10 games straight where you can just start to get some rhythm together. I know we've got, obviously, you know, a lot of teams are juggling one more Origin game, but then... I just think our overall game, you know, I think last night we conceded again a lot of sort of early kick tries, so we've got to, you know, improve in that area. But again, I still think our combinations will improve. Our attack will get better when the guys just, you know, play more together. So, I'm excited about the back half of the year. I think it's, you know, going to be really exciting for every side, but I'm really confident that we can improve a fair bit out of all the sides in the comp.
We're speaking with Newcastle coach Justin Holbrook after last night's 2-point win over St George Illawarra. Justin, we had Chris James in the box last night having a chat with him, the director of footy at Newcastle, his first year in that role, Peter Parr's first year as CEO. And I know we've spoken about this earlier this year, about the overall blueprint for Newcastle is expanding the catchment area, which is massive, and that's been achieved. Community involvement back with the Newcastle Knights, all of this sort of thing to get back into the real culture and spirit of the Newcastle Knights. And it seems like that great strides have already been made. Bearing in mind your recency to joining the club, have you been impressed with how that's come along?
Yeah, I sure have, Andrew. I think a lot of that, you know, fortunate enough was sort of already being put in place when I sort of first come on board, because there's a lot of talk around, you know, yeah, exactly what you mentioned, community, our pathways, you know, how, you know, we'd sort of fallen away in those areas. And I like to play a part in that. But as you mentioned, those other guys like Chris James and Peter Parr have played a big part in that. And there's such great experience in rugby league. So for myself, obviously my main job is just to worry about the first grade, and I'll play a hand wherever I can in the community and definitely show interest in the pathways. But I think as a club, you know, we're showing that. I think, you know, the pathways had a great junior rep season. Even our New South Wales Cup now, you know, they're fighting their way, you know, into the top four. So I feel like our whole club's, moving in the direction we obviously want it to, and it's great to be a part of.
That's awesome. And the other good thing is with local juniors coming through to win a comp is, I reckon you need that. But just want to go back to the origin part you spoke about for a second there, Justin. You're saying that you have to juggle the origin. We always get spoken about junior year. Should origin, you know, maybe have a bit of a standalone junior year to give the clubs a bit of a break and a bit of an opportunity to get their players back on the field? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Louis, like obviously you know, I'm not going to decide that. The powers to be need that. I guess we need games on telly. We need games, you know, for you boys to call. We need them on Fox, 10 or 9. So it is a hard one. And look, we have not affected greatly. Some sides, obviously, as you boys know, are, you know, missing 5, 6, 7 players. So that's a huge, you know, thing to be dealing with. But it's just funny being at training and then, you know, just having a few of your key guys away. And obviously you lose them for like that full week and a half. And then if they back up, they're pretty much just turning up and playing. So it's just so different to what you face rounds one to, you know, whenever it starts 13, when it's just so fluent, you just got your side, you train every day is the same. And then all of a sudden you you're losing them for a week and a half, and then you're juggling, are they going to back up? They're not going to back up, and all that. And then the following, you know, week or two as well, with the mental strain of it all. So, yeah, I mean, if you ask me selfishly, I'd love it to be standalone. But, you know, our game's got a job to do to have players on the field. So it's a tricky one.
Yeah, but I like that answer, because at the end of the day, there's not too many people that come out and say that, but I think it has to be standalone, purely just for the club stuff, mate. To be able to have your team playing your best possible roster out in the field and keeping them fresh so they come semi-final time, I think, you know, I don't mind the idea of having it during the year, but having 2 weeks and then, and they've only got to back up once out of that origin period, I think the players could do that.
Yeah, definitely. And they're not all trying to do that. Like that. Obviously, that's why they give you a couple of buys around all the origin time as well. So, but, you know, look, our game's in a great spot and it's flying. At least, you know, as I mentioned, we've just got one more to get through, and then you get your sort of last, you know, eight odd rounds to really knuckle down, and you know, everyone will be fighting for the final spots at back end of the year. So it's just we've been dealing with it for a number of years now. So it's a tricky time of year for club land to get through, that's for sure.
And just to finish with and to extend these questions and points you're raising, Justin, I've never yet spoken to a coach who wishes they didn't have a lot of State of Origin players, even though there's a hardship in the middle of the season. It means you're going well, and I'd assume you agree with that, and you'll see a noticeable difference even in someone like Dylan Lucas with this experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, you know, we had sort of Fletcher Sharp and Matty Croker in the first camp for those few extra couple of players they get in for a few days. So that's definitely the upside. You get them, you know, training and competing at a higher level with different coaches and different players to be around. So you definitely come back better players. But, yeah, it's always tricky because you want your best players on the field for your club. And but, yeah, we want it our own way all the time, us coaches. It's hard.
I know. Well, Justin, so far so good. You're sitting there in the top four after your 16th round game. 11 rounds still to go, so a lot of work to do. Well done last night, mate, and on the season so far. We'll catch you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Cheers, boys. Thank you. You can't
touch this. Time to find out all the latest rugby league news and speculation. Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's Hammer Time.
This promises to be a big one, Michael Carayannis. Where are you starting with all your stories?
Let's start with a bit of signing and re-signing news. Billy Walters set to ink a 2-year extension with the Brisbane Broncos. And you know, he's due back this week in Q Cup, Billy Walters. And, you know, I think he's been missed for the Broncos this year. Really underrated value that he gives to that side. So it looks like he's about to get a new 2-year deal.
He was so good for them last year, wasn't he?
He was, yep, definitely.
All right, so Billy Walters to re-sign with the Broncos.
Bit of signing news for the Canterbury Bulldogs. Jesse McLean, the brother of Casey, is a guy that's sort of gone under the radar a little bit over the last couple of years, was one of the highly touted players, made his NRL debut at 18, but has been rarely cited in first grade since then, hasn't played at all this year. He's going to be off, it's not done, but I think you'll find he'll be off to the Bulldogs next season.
So Freddie Lussick's also signed with Canterbury, hasn't he? With Mitch Kenny out of action. Jesse McLean, he debuted before Casey, did he?
Yeah, he's still only 21. He's older than Casey, but he's 21. And the Panthers invested a lot in those brothers, thinking they're going to be the long-term future of the club. But with the re-signing of Tom Jenkins, I think they needed to let Jesse go in order to accommodate Jenkins in the side. And you can't really argue with that, given how good Tom Jenkins has been.
I remember you, Louis, when Jesse McLean debuted, and you said, this kid is really good, but wait till you see his brother.
Yeah, correct. I always had big raps on the McLean brothers, and watching them play and come through the grades, I thought they were outstanding footballers. But Casey was always that little bit more superior, but Jesse's a great footballer as well. So he just needs a full-time role. He needs a full year of first grade to get the best out of him. But yeah, Casey was always just, I reckon he was ready to play first grade at the age of 17.
Well, he's just, where is he going to be in 5 years, and Casey McLean?
He could be the Greg Inglis of New South Wales.
That's a big rap.
Yeah, that's how much I rate him.
And just on that signing, it'd be interesting to see what it means for someone like Bronson Cherry at the Bulldogs, who sort of had that, you know, he's off contract at the end of next year, Bronson, but I think watch this space on that one as well.
Did I read somewhere this week Melbourne Storm are interested in Bronson Cherry?
He doesn't have permission to talk to rival clubs yet.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. All right, and finally? Oh, no, you've got two to go. This is huge.
Just we spoke around Latrell Mitchell. We'll come back for South Sydney next week unless there's a setback. They're confident as well that Jack Wyden might be back for the Rabbitohs as well. He's not as far along in his rehab as Latrell Mitchell, so if he doesn't play next week, it'll definitely be the week after, but they're confident that Jack Wyden may make an early return next week.
Yeah, Souths need them, don't they? They need to get back to close to full strength just to keep some momentum going that they had, particularly early in the season, where they've looked really, really good. And finally,
The Dragons have started their formal interview process for the next head coach. Obviously, Dean Young in the mix. Ben Hornby is probably the other leading candidate, but they've had that formal process has now begun.
Any names? Apart from Ben Hornby?
Dean Young.
Anyone else put their hand up?
That's all I can
tell us.
Gather at the moment.
Okay. Because you'd think the pool would be wider.
Don't think it's going to be much wider if it is.
Interesting. All right.
Maybe one other.
That is MC's Hammer Time for this Saturday afternoon.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Saturday.
Rugby League is on your radio. ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
The Gold Coast Chargers, remember them? They reached the finals in 1997 under the coaching of Phil Economides, and he's part of a whole big Gold Coast reunion today at Robina Stadium. He's on the bus heading to the ground. I hope he can hear us. G'day, Phil. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks. Really good.
Mate, what a day today. Gold Coast Chargers, Titans, Seagulls, everyone's getting recognised today.
Oh, it's superb. Absolutely superb. And to catch up with blokes, some blokes I haven't seen for 25 years, so it's really special, right?
So did you guys feel just to get together today, or has it been cumulative over the last couple of days?
No, just today, no. And I'm on the bus going to the ground now because the first one was Chockers. And standing here with Kevin Campion and Andrew King, so the company's been first class, so I've got no complaints.
Kevin Campion, what a great player he was for a number of clubs, and a premiership winner and a great, great forward for a number of clubs, Kevin Campion. I guess the pinnacle of your coaching career came in 1997. Do you have fond memories of that reaching the finals?
Oh, absolutely. You know, for a team that, as I've said before, that, you know, was just thrown together to make the numbers up for the ARL and that, the blokes exceeded all expectations, and they were tremendous supplies.
How did you pull them all together, Phil, to get them into the finals that season?
Well, I've said before, but we had 6 weeks to put a roster together, not 2 or 3 years like they have these days. And then we had, we trained for only 2 weeks before game one, and so it was difficult, but no one expected us to win the game that first year. But we won 6 or 7 and, beat Parramatta, which was purported to be an $8 million team. So, it was a great, great effort.
Obviously, you coached the following season, and then where did your path take you after that?
Well, I coached the following season, and then the one after that, the writing was on the wall at Rumours, where we were being, we were being put out of the comp. Then I went, I coached Fiji, a national team. Then I went to France and coached Toulouse for a couple of years, and that was quite exciting as well. But it was heartbreaking when they put the Crushers out first. They put South Sydney and us out as well. And now I laugh because now they're trying to expand the competition.
That coach of the year, though, in 97, Phil, considering everything that was going on in the game and the historic nature of the year for the team you were coaching, that must be very satisfying.
It was. And as I've said before, I had a team of really close bonded team, and they're all good mates, and we still are today, which is so important. And it they exceeded all expectations. And, you know, as I've said, the Gold Coast give us a motorcade. It was exciting times, and, you know, we'll never forget it. And as I said, to see these blokes now is just so special. It's really good.
Geez, I remember calling that finals game when you beat Illawarra at the old Parramatta Stadium. It was a very joyous occasion for the Gold Coast Chargers. And finally, Phil, we'll let you go, but who are you most looking forward to catching up with today, if not Captain Charger?
Well, he's a legend, so it would be nice to catch up with him. But, you know, I've seen Greg Bird today and a few other ex-players. And also, mate, I'm an Ivan Cleary fan, so even though I've got to go for the Titans, I rate him and his son very highly.
So what's happening? Are you all getting introduced at halftime, are you?
I'm not sure, actually. So it's... I went up a couple of weeks ago or a month ago to the Magic Round at Suncor. That was really good too. So I'm not sure what the itinerary or program is today.
Well, I hope your bus isn't far away. Yeah, I know you will. Good on you, Phil. So good to catch up with you, mate. Enjoy the day and the catch-ups.
Thanks for talking to me. Thank you. Bye.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.